Thy center, August 11, 2024.
For my study circle tonight, I made a video for us all to watch together, and it will explain itself when I play it, and when we're done, we can discuss it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
The following is a story from the Sri Sai Sachitra, The Wonderful Life and Teachings of Shirdi Sai Baba. It is written by one of Baba's devotees, Homapat. It is from chapters 18 and 19. How Homapat was accepted and blessed.
The writer of this book was Baba's devotee, was with Baba for years and years. And a merchant comes to Baba and Baba says to him, ask for direction. Baba says, read this certain book. I don't know if it was Bhagavad Gita or what it was. If you read this book a few times, you will get your wish fulfilled. At that time, the author, Homapat, Baba had named him, something like that, was shampooing Baba's feet, meaning massaging and washing Baba's feet. And he said in his own mind, I've been with Baba this many years. He never told me if I read something, I can be enlightened. And he's telling this guy that comes for the first time, what have I done in the past lifetime that I should deserve something, that type of treatment? Of course, in this book, it's very, very clear that Baba knew everything, whether you were close, far, extremely far, made no sense. The same as Sai Baba. So Baba reads his mind and says, why don't you go to Shama's place and have some chatting with him? He's surprised. He had to leave Baba's feet and go to Shama's house. He gets to Shama's house. Shama comes out and says, what are you doing here? Says, Baba sent me to get some dakshina. Dakshina was money. And have some chit-chat with you. He says, well, I don't have dakshina. I just prostrate before Baba's feet. He says, okay, that's fine. He says, let me go. I'm in the middle of my worship. They do all sorts of things with the statues and all of that. When I finish and I take my bath, I come to you. So he said there was a book by the window shelf. He picks it up and is exactly the same book that he reads it daily. He opens it and exactly the chapter that he had left for today, that day to read it. Opens up to that. So he reads it. By the time he finishes, the guy comes. And he says, okay, what should we chit-chat? He said, I don't know. Just tell me some stories about Baba. Then the guy tells this story, which tallies with the way he was thinking. And that's why Baba sent him to his house, to Shama's house. There was a lady that came and wanted a mantra or direction from him. In the form of a mantra or lesson or something. And she decided to go on a starvation diet until Baba gives her, they call it apadash, I believe. 3 days like this passes and she won't have water or food. One of Baba's closest devotee, his name was Shama, finds out and goes to Baba and says, Baba, what is this? You bring the devotees here like a sparrow with the wings tied down, and then you don't pay attention or give them anything. It tells the story of the lady. Baba said, bring the lady here. She comes to Baba And Baba said, "Mother, let me tell you a story about myself with my guru. And if you really pay attention, you benefit far more than mantras that I could blow in your ears." It wasn't, she was, Baba was not into mantras, but a repetition of Alam Malik, yes, but none of the others. So he goes like this. He says, "I was with my guru for 12 years. I served him day and night. He never, ever took his eyes off of me, as I did not take my eyes off of my guru. He made sure that I have enough to wear, enough food to eat, enough comfort. He looked after me. Or even if I were sitting together, we also had our heart toward each other. Even if I was sent away for a short while, his gaze never left me, nor did my gaze left him. So by that inner gaze, he would feed me." And he said, "How can I blow mantra in your ears when myself, my guru, didn't do that?" So the guy hears this story and starts crying, because that's exactly his relationship with Baba was. Serving Baba and not taking his gaze off. And Baba was saying, "I don't take mine either." And here he's complaining about the other guy not, you know, having to read, you know, this and that. So at that time, the arati bell rings, denoting the lunchtime. So they both run into the masjid, and Baba is sitting there. They go in front of Baba, each seated the different side of Baba. And Baba says, "Okay, what did you guys talk about? Did you have a good chit chat? He said, "Yes." Now, at that time, the arati is really loud with banging of cymbals and all of this, but still Baba wants to know. He said, "Tell me all about it." And then he says, "Well, Baba, I went there and this is what happened. And Shama told me that story." He said, "Yes, that story." He said, "Remember this story as the pinnacle of your spiritual practice, and you will benefit greatly." In other words, you're already doing that. Continue doing that. But he didn't say that way. And then he says, "If your attention at all time to an invisible existence of yourself," meaning God, "then that is great. If you cannot do that, then don't take your attention off of your guru. And that is all you need to do." And this always stuck with me, this story. How simple he makes it, you know? It's a beautiful story. It's so funny. Even Baba, who was an avatar, in other words, he was no longer a human, although in the human body, had a guru. In other words, the reflection of his reality was present to help him.
Really good. So I'm all for it.
Thank you.
I wanted to know from everybody, any reaction you have, or what did you take from that beautiful story?
Everybody better talk to make it worth it.
I really liked the last line. I don't know, do you have it written?
Yeah, I do. It says, and this story always stuck with me, how simple he makes it, you know? It's a beautiful story. It's so funny. Even Babbo, who was an avatar, in other words, he was no longer a human, although in the human body, had a guru. In other words, the reflection of his reality was present to help him.
And comes to tell, to show us that a lot of people that are most in need, they say, we don't need guru. We don't need somebody to help us. We can do it ourselves. We'll go. We'll see you later. Go ahead. Find your way in a dark jungle and see where you get and how far.
Sachin, in one of your recording, you said, the guru is the key to my heart. And this is really true. When I hear it, it was just my heart was coming out of my chest.
Yeah.
Because it is true. When I'm far from you, I ask my heart. And when you come back, my heart is so big. And it's, I can touch it bigger than my body. But I'm asking it. Where were you yesterday that I needed you? Now, but without the guru, I don't know anything, if it was anything is possible.
I don't consider myself a guru.
But I do.
For me, it was very practical when I listened to this, and it was been a while, and I listened to it. I can't tell you how many times a day this plus a few things that recently you've shared, I remind myself of. So if I don't see you or I'm not around, I'll say, well, where's my attention right now? Because I can just put it right there. And so I'll try here and then I'll be there. But then when it doesn't work or that's changed, I'll be like, well, let me just think about that. Or let me journal about her. Or let me just think about her. And it really opens me and it makes me, I don't know, it's been incredible and it's just very practical, but like there's such a clear message in here. Like, you can have this, it's right here. Where's your attention? And so I was very grateful for this.
I think tonight actually feels like a extenuation of last week with the guru, Guru Purnima, the importance of the guru and everything else. So I thought it was so appropriate. And like what Cabbie says, I've actually done experiments with this because I'll have times where I'll feel like the world is kind of swallowing me, and it doesn't take any long time, doesn't take huge amount of effort. It's really pretty immediate. And I say this all the time, even when the world gets frazzling, even if whatever, that joy that I have in my heart because I know that I have you. I won't say guru, guide, whatever. Just knowing that I have you is bigger than anything else. And it's just me kind of tuning out the noise a little bit and coming back. And of course, the easiest way for me to do that is through your audios. I feel like it's a shortcut. That's how I feel.
The thing that stood out for me was the idea of a shortcut. Everybody's after a shortcut. Give me a book, give me a mantra, give me something so I can get to my destination faster. Instead of really looking inwards and figuring what really counts. It's not, you know, I read this book, I get my answer.
For me, it was important again to have that emphasis. If you keep your eyes on your guru keeps the eye on you at all times. And that has definitely been some of my experiences. And I really, really felt it. And that emphasized it.
Seema?
Yeah. What I just realized is it's so beautiful. It's the subconscious relationship that Hemant Pant had with the Guru. He didn't realize that. He was always with him. He always, but he had to step out to realize that connection that he had. And that's how I feel too. Even though I don't think about you, Sat, or Baba, it's the teaching, it's a subconscious. It's so beautiful that sometimes you don't have to see that person. It's the feeling that you have that connects.
Thank you so much for this video and sharing your private conversation publicly, because I have read Sai Satcharita, but I have never understood the story. Always, I understand everything when I come to this earth, and that's the fact. The way that I understood it today, I saw myself as that Hemant Pant, because lot of times I had those silly conversations with Baba that he's showing some partiality, always I'm with him, and I'm his child, but when I always do that silly comparisons with others in my life, but when I started doing that trust sincerely, as you taught, as I taught and everything, I was he has never ever taken his eyes away from me. It's just my thoughts and my imagination. Even if I step back, he's pulling me like magnet. And it's just the time that I have to realize that.
What I really liked about this story, the amusing part I thought, was when he's washing the feet, but thinking about why someone else is getting it a different way. It just reminds me of how ego can come into the path too. When you look around and you see someone else, why are they feeling that way? And why am I here? And why am I having to go through it about, roundabout way? But knowing that the Guru is always there, and feeling that oneness is always an opportunity that's always available.
Yeah, to me, what is it, very important to realize that you can't judge the Guru the way we judge other people. And even when the Guru ignores you, he's really looking at you deeply. When he is acting, closeness doesn't mean it's close. It's really different than normal relationship. But my experience is that the Guru always thinks of the disciples, whether they are in the body or not, as long as the disciple turns the key toward the heart. Whether it is formless after they leave the body or still holding on to the form, they're the most beautiful refuge. And like you said, with trust meditation, you found it in your own heart, which is the highest way of worship of the Guru. So how lucky are we in this lifetime? And how lucky are our children to have it from the get-go. Of course, you had it from the get-go too. I'd like to hear about yours.
When you told this story, I shared with you too, it was like a love affair to me. And I played this over and over and over. And like Vijay and some others acknowledged, I have definitely experienced in Serenya these thoughts of this person or that person. And to just only have the eyes where they belong is so beautiful. And to see always that oval energy and that reciprocation is intoxicating. And I just loved this story, and I loved learning about Shirdi Baba too. I went and read the story in the real book too, that he kind of plays with them a little bit, and that he sent him to Shama, and Shama would have this same story that would come back and help him. I just really enjoyed learning about Shirdi, and I just thought this story was like truly a love story, and I was so grateful for it.
I mean, when we compare ourselves with others, we're not focusing the way Shirdi Baba was focusing on his guru. We're looking around. That's interesting.
What Vijay was saying resonated quite a bit with me. Satchel, I'm not very physically frequently close to you, but very early on, I noticed every time my attention went towards the divine, in my own way, in my previous ways, I felt you in my heart. A couple of times, I think you even let me know. It's just for me to understand, acknowledge that your gaze is coming towards me, and I felt it. I was driving towards Sacramento one time, I felt it. And you texted me, and I was across town, and so I learned that it's not physical closeness. You are present. You're truly omnipresent. You're everywhere. I can be across the world, and I can feel that gaze when it comes. My understanding before this video, and thank you so much, Babaji, was that my job what I need to do is just to be silent, and the gaze comes when the gaze needs to come. But being silent is being turning towards divinity. So it is, there's no conflict, contradiction there. That's all I have to share. Thank you so much. Anytime the doubt starts coming in, you just amaze me by reminding me with your gaze. I have to say this, that you are looking at me and you are showering me with your attention and your grace. Thank you so much.
What really stood out to me from this story is how the guru knows exactly what the disciple needs and the disciple doesn't. And it was an amazing reminder, an amazing video. And I'm so grateful.
Thank you, Bahar. I came in here with a lot of distress. I asked for a Baba. You gave me an answer today. I got my answer, and I remember May 2nd when I came in standing outside of my prayers heard from you. Your blessings was given to me and all the truth in my life unfolding in front of my eyes. Divine is with me and showing everything in front of me very clearly. When I ask for help, I'm getting it. And the last 5 days when I had a private chat with you last week, you said, do your prayers. But I don't know how in the world I was able to keep everything out of my mind. And I was able to do my prayers for 5 days without thinking about my problems. There is a major life-changing moment is coming in front of me. But that's what the divine shows. This is where you are heading. And I know I would have not taken this so easily if I would have never come here on May 2nd. That changed my life. And it's taking me to the right place. I hope that is the right path for my kid also. So I hope he's going to be with me, and even this message, I never expected you're taking Shirdi Baba, because that's where my divine connection had started from. And then later I connected to Sat, and then from there to the Satya Sai Baba.
you got a lot of support. I mean, you should not be worried at all. You have an army of enlightened people.
No, it was really surprising to see when divine isn't on your side, how clear signs.
I am an instrument. I agree. Yes, it is an instrument unbeknown to my body and mind. So, honestly, God, when you give credit, know that it goes to the right place. Know that it's not affecting any part of my being because, to be honest with you, I'm not interested in that part. So, all your appreciation is given back to your heart. That is the promise that I have done all the time. And, but it's just the good news makes me happy. Yeah. How lucky I am to be an instrument of spreading peace and joy. And how lucky you guys are to receive and give it back to the other people. I mean, like you with Adrian, you with your community, bringing them to Baba, bringing them to truth. So we all are preparing ourselves to serve the Divine Mother and our Guru. And that's beautiful. I'm glad you took 5 days. I'm glad you listened. Because that's when we get the grace, when we settle down, we allow it to show us what is our next step. So please be very sure with it.
Thank you for making me so brave, strong. People who have seen me in the past, they look at my strength now and they're like, wow, how far you have come along. It all goes to you because you pushed my soul to realize everything. So you awakened my soul to understand this. I would have never let go of this worldly situations if I would have never stepped into the Sai Center. It is bringing a
Thank
big
you.
Change in my life.
For
Thank
bringing
you so much.
Her. Yeah. Very happy about that.
Any other sharings?
I just wanted to say I'm going to really maintain myself, but it's such a special relationship. It's so precious.
Most precious.
There's nothing like it. There'll never be anything like it. It's so dear, so precious. So thank you.
I am the child of my guru, so he did good. Yes, please do.
It's so important for you to do what you do because you help us to understand what all these people have said it in the past, but you're right here in front of us, and I just get chills saying it.
Thank you, Adrian.
Otherwise, it would just die on the vine.
Yeah, reviving the truth that is ancient happens throughout the history. But lucky those of us that are interested to listen and see the worth of it, see the pricelessness of it. You know, like I was in a Muslim family, although my parents were not religion. You guys, Hinduism, Buddhism, Christians, the Catholics, and Jewish, and all of that. But is irrelevant, is understanding of our own religion. And Baba had said it, that he came not to take you away from your religion, but give you a much clearer understanding of what your religion actually is about. And I remember I was with Iranian in many retreats where most of them, 99% of them, came from Iran to meet with me. And a lot of them were very, very religious, doing a lot of namaz and rituals and all of that. And I never tried to take him away from this ritual, but I did tell him that the most important essence of Islam is La ilaha illallah, means there is nothing but God, which takes us to an omnipresent meditation. And by dwelling on that, when they left, all the ritual that were by force and there was no heart in it fell off. Just by realizing the essence of their own, and they began to see Islam not as a fanatic approach to Almighty, but as totality of Almighty. And that we didn't change Islam. We just brought the essence of Islam. And that the same goes with Christianity. It is not one person 3,000 years ago. The message of that person was not to say, I am the Jesus, the way. He just said, I am. And who cannot say, I am? So what is the secret of that I am that is omnipresent? Is beyond humanhood, beyond personality. And we go to Hindus, there is a treasure house there, but it gets lost in bending and bending and doing this and doing that, and the differences between Islam and Hinduism, and the wars goes on for years and years. And yet there are avatars and enlightened souls that come, and we're lucky to know them, that says, listen, take the essence of your teaching, you will see, I mean your religion, and you will see that is universal. And this is what we are instrument to dissect multiplicity and divisions into unity and understanding. And that is the grace of God. We cannot own it. It just is the way it is, right? So thank you for all of you for getting it and understanding it and appreciating it, using it and giving it away. Namaste.